the Joshua 19 Studios in downtown Bloomington, Illinois, welcome to the CarterCast. The star of the show is Jack Lewis Jewelers CEO John Carter, and I'm your host, Joshua Scholl. Today, we're revisiting a topic from a previous episode because everyone knows a sequel is always better than the original. It's been about 2.5 years since we last talked about lab-grown diamonds. Given the ever-changing landscape of that controversial, salacious, contentious, quarrelsome topic, we decided to check back in, see how things are going in the land of LGDs. Plus, I bring out charts, and we play clips of Carter's predictions from the previous episode right to his face, forcing him to respond. Was he right? Was he wrong? Was he Nostradamus or Nostradamus? It's Lab-Grown Diamonds 2, too vast, too spurious. Let's chat, shall we? This is the CarterCast, the pre-proposal show for dating couples designed to make engagement ring shopping easy, understandable, and fun. You can get the 4 C's anywhere, but only here can you get the 5th C called Carter. I'm Josh, and this is CGA GG, former president of the AGS and Jack Lewis Jewelers CEO, John Carter.
Yeah, that's a lot of acronyms.
That's you name. Got a lot of letters.
Yeah, I don't even know what any of those mean.
Most people don't either.
CEO.
Oh,
yeah, I got that one, yeah.
GG is what?
Graduate gemologist.
What is that?
That is the course that one takes through the Gemological Institute of America to become a gemologist. And you can either do that in person at GIA. Shout out to our friends in Carlsbad, California. Thank you, GIA, for all you do. Yeah. And you can either do that in person in residency in their beautiful campus. It overlooks the ocean and tulip fields. It's magical. Or you could do, in my case, and just do it remotely. And you can do it there in person and do it in about 6 months, or you can do it the way that I did it, which arguably is a really good way to get your gemological accreditation because you are, it's you and a microscope and gems. And
what more do you need?
Nah, that's just it.
More
it was,
do you need? Was, and tulips.
Some of the best days of my life.
Welcome into the CarterCast studio from high atop the Illinois House Building in downtown Bloomington, Illinois, the original 1927 home of Jack Lewis Jewelers.
Sitting atop the old Jack Lewis Jewelers.
Absolutely. It's wonderful. We are filming today here in the first quarter of 2024, which will be relevant to today's topic. This is a follow-up to our most popular episode thus far. Because
how could the people choose? There's been so many good episodes.
There have been, but this one actually, by a long shot, this one
created the most controversy. That's for sure.
Caught some virality, went wide. But a lot has changed. There are some updates to explore. And so today we are revisiting the topic of lab-grown diamonds.
Lab-grown or diamonds.
LGDs, as they are LGDs. Apparently called.
That's how we do refer to them.
We spent some time talking in the previous episode about terminology things. And so LGD, the acronym
so
was not.
So much drama in the LGD.
We're going to edit that out.
Yeah, for sure.
No, we won't. No. Okay, so Carter, our previous episode aired in the fall of 2021. The reason the timing of this is relevant is because it's currently the first part of 2024. So it's been about 2.5 years since we last discussed this.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Okay. Lots changed.
So in that episode, we talked about terminology, the history, the process of how they're made. It was a good introductory overview, I think. Typically, behind the scenes, I kind of produce the show in the sense that I come up with topics to talk about. But this time you wanted to talk about this particular topic and kind of revisit it. So why? Why did you want to revisit the topic of lab-grown diamonds here 2.5 years later?
I don't think that my stance hasn't changed terribly on lab-grown diamonds. And it really is in terms of the retail jewelry industry. It's probably the most controversial topic or has been the most divisive amongst my colleagues over the last several years.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about what is the new reality of lab-grown diamonds? Do they have a place in our industry? What is the future? And what was the past?
Yep.
I'm sure we'll talk about that. As you know, I don't really prepare for these conversations, but I'm sure you probably have that as part
stacks
of
stacks and stacks of notes. Yeah.
You know, what has the past been? What did we talk about in that episode? What were some of the things that came up that maybe either have come to fruition?
Yeah.
Or have changed dramatically since then. So that's it. I just think it's an ever evolving topic that I think should be addressed by us. I mean, as long as we do this this podcast, I think that we should talk about it.
Emmy winning show.
I'd settle for just an award. I'd settle for award winning.
Yeah, award. Just any award.
We should be an award winning
show. Best podcast like in the Illinois Hotel building. So far, I don't.
That's how you get awards. You set the bar low, and then
it's mostly lawyers in this building. And I don't think any of them have podcasts. So
top notch people in this building.
Challenge thrown down.
So throughout this episode, we're going to throw your own words back in your face.
Okay.
We have clips from our previous show queued up and ready to go. So I figure I'll just make you watch the younger, handsomer version of yourself. Making predictions.
Thinner? Thinner?
About lab-grown diamonds, and then we'll get your reactions to
about how wrong
yourself.
I was.
Hey, I don't know. Were you all wrong? Right. Were you right? Let's get going. So
I don't actually watch these after we produce them. So
clip number one. Clip number one, 2.5 years ago, you said this.
As against them as I am to sell them, mm-hmm. I don't think that they're necessarily a wrong choice for people to lean towards. They are a less expensive option for people. So if they want a 1-carat, mm-hmm. A natural diamond is going to run a certain price, and a laboratory-grown diamond is going to run maybe $2,500, I want to say, maybe $2,000 for a 1-carat. It might even be significantly less than that. Now, I can tell you that there are companies that sell a 1-carat lab-grown finished in a sterling pendant for $800 for a 1-carat. Now, you and I have been talking about this for years. Do you remember when you and I first started talking, do you remember what the price of that 1-carat was 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
I don't know.
It was over $5,000.
That was 2.5 years ago. This is a chart updated for the most recent information that we have, the early part of last year, which is 2023. Mm-hmm. This is from the Financial Times. This is titled Lab-Grown Diamond Prices Crater. As mine stones also hit 8-year low. But you can see on this chart, I think we'll be able to punch in later and see this, that blue line is going down and to the right pretty dramatically in terms of the lab-grown pricing. Back in 2017, which would have been about the time period you were referring to in the quote or the clip, it was around that $5,000 mark, like you said, and 2023, very much, much lower. Again, that was 2.5 years ago. In prep for the show, I went to some of the top online diamond sellers to see where their prices were currently in early 2024. So what do you think? James Allen, 1-carat DVS1, hundreds of them for how much?
Currently.
Yeah.
1-carat what?
1-carat DVS1. That was the apples.
By the way, not that it should matter. They should all be.
I know.
Colorless.
I was trying to do apples to apples in my price comparison.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, from what I've seen with clients that have walked in, I would say that you have people selling those diamonds still for as much as $1,500.
$1,400.
Wow.
Is what they're listed for.
Yeah.
Brilliant Earth, 1-carat DVS1, hundreds of them, $1,400.
Okay.
Blue Nile, 1-carat DVS1, hundreds of them, $1,800.
Yep.
94-point diamonds, $1,400.
Yep.
Grown Brilliance, 1-carat DVS1, hundreds of them for $1,335. And an article on CNBC from December of 2023 quoted Limelight Diamonds, one of India's largest LGD brands, as saying $1,200 was about the going 1-carat price now. With all that set up, I guess my question to you is, what is your reaction to the continued price drop? And do you want to say I told you so?
No, because I would, truthfully, if I look at that younger, better looking version of John Carter there, what I would want to tell him is I had hoped by this point that those prices would be in the $800 to $1,000 range. I was hoping that was about, because my stance always has been on them that they should be what they're worth, right? They should reflect the amount of them in the marketplace, which is millions and millions and millions and millions. Some could say this is the same argument for natural diamonds as well, but it is different because you don't control production in the same way. And so knowing the growers and major producers of these that I've talked to over the years, you really know that the hard costs on these things should dictate that they should be at about $800 for a 1-carat lab grown. And there are plenty of people selling them for that. As you know, the one thing that has changed in those days, we didn't sell a single one. We didn't sell a single lab grown until last year. We still really only will reluctantly sell them if it's something that the client has their heart set on.
Yeah.
But we want them to be paying a rational price,
right,
understanding the still declining value of that piece.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, people make their own decisions. But we are still overwhelmingly a natural diamond store. Like,
yeah.
95%, 98% probably of what we sell is going to be natural diamonds. So I don't want to say I told you so,
yeah,
because I'm not brilliant. You just had to look at the numbers. You had to look at that chart, which existed then. You know, this part of the chart existed then.
Yeah.
So you saw what it was doing, and 2 years less attractive version of me right now, John Carter, is probably going to be able to say it's down here.
Yep.
Because at some point it does have to bottom out, because you have to pay somebody to cut it, which is not inexpensive. You know, it's a laborious process until they come up with a way to just machine cut lab grown diamonds, which probably will happen at some point. I would think that will happen with sharks with laser beams or
laser beams on their heads
at some point. No. So the decline was as predictable as just anybody paying attention. And it's not, people took it wrong. I mean, you even saw, I think even some of the comments that were happening there, we weren't saying, at no point did I ever say that they're worthless. There's no point to them. I even specifically say, I understand why some people want them.
Yeah.
But you have to understand this. And the other thing to be honest about too, has been the decline of natural diamond prices in the process, which has followed that flow a little bit. And there's some reasons for that as well. Some of that is the price of lab grown pulling down natural, but you also have an effect that happened during COVID that a lot of the major stores, the major big box retailers, and probably even the online stores have seen is a decline in the marketplace in terms of where people are in their relationships. There was a decline in people because of COVID.
Yeah.
Coming out of COVID, there was a decline in people actually starting that period of engagement.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a decline worldwide, really, at least countrywide, in the decreased number of engagements. And maybe some of that is people waiting longer to get engaged. Maybe they don't choose to buy diamond jewelry. Maybe they choose to do an experience instead. That can be as well. Yeah. But for the most part, we know statistics in America show less engagements in America as well. So that'll be reflective in some of those numbers for both.
Yeah, I mean, you get locked down. You can't meet people. You can't meet people. You can't get engaged.
And a lot of people accelerated the process because they were locked down. They're like, hey, I love spending 6 months with this person. Sure. Engaged. And so it pulled a lot of early engagements out of the marketplace.
Does this pace seem right to you, or does it surprise you kind of how quickly these prices have fallen?
No, it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't surprise me. As I said, I thought that it would go even a little bit lower a little bit sooner.
Okay.
Based on what I had seen some of the manufacturers doing and what they had announced, but a lot of product didn't come out until then. But you hear there's a lot of laboratory growing companies that have gone out of the marketplace that have, you know, there was a massive flood of product in the marketplace, and the laws of economics are always very consistent.
You're usually undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the things, like, I think some people would look at this graph and they'd probably think, why are you guys showing this? All this says is that lab grown diamonds are a great deal. But I guess
they're not wrong.
Well,
what's a deal?
So that's what I'm getting at. It's like
they're inexpensive.
If you think about it for a second, you're not getting a great deal on something that has high value. You're arguably still overpaying for something that has poor value. Is kind of a way that you could look at that. You know, I mean, this graph is yet to level out. It certainly won't reverse itself. You know, it's going to keep going down and to the right. And I guess what that means is like any day that you've bought a lab grown diamond over the last 7 years, you've overpaid for it. Is that a fair characterization? Is that a little harsh?
I think that's harsh.
Okay.
Because I never like likening lab grown diamonds to technology. Mm-hmm. I don't like the comparison where people say, well, yeah, but you paid, you know, I bought a new TV last year.
Right.
Did I pay too much for that TV compared to the TV prices a year from now? Yeah, but the difference is I didn't buy that TV to give to the person that I love the most in the world. Right. That's why I don't like that comparison.
Yeah.
But the rules of how much I spent versus how much I could have spent had I waited a little longer are the same.
Yeah.
So no, I don't like taking that stance. And at the end of the day, you know, like what our show is about and what our store is about and what I think what, you know, you and I are about just as people, as we've talked about this over the dozen plus years that we've worked together, mm-hmm. is we're in this business because of what it means. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to give somebody a laboratory grown diamond because they love them and that symbolizes love to them, I'm not here to judge that.
Right. Right.
Our job at the diamond counter at Jack Lewis Jewelers is to let people know the pros and cons of both.
Yeah.
Or the pros and cons of, and we've done episodes on this, the pros and cons of having a ruby instead mm-hmm. of a diamond, or can I do an emerald engagement ring? Things like that. Like that's our job at the,
I mean, you can, but
go back and watch that episode. That was a good episode.
It was a good episode.
You know, there are, our job at the counter is to tell you sometimes why something isn't the best purchase and why maybe sometimes when I put two diamonds under somebody's nose and I say this one's 5,000, this one's 8,000, does it look like 3,000? And they say no, then why would you spend $3,000 more? Yeah. It's the same thing. You're just talking about, it's the question here is, should people be charging still $1,500, $1,800, $2,000? That's a philosophical question that only they can answer. I could tell you that when we sell them, it's nowhere near those price ranges for a 1 carat. And a 1 carat's just a good benchmark because that's kind of like what people want.
You alluded to it a little bit a few minutes ago. What is the bottom, do you think, for the 1 carat, again, DVS one sort of price? That's just what I picked.
John Carter?
I don't know. I mean,
bottom for them. Where do I see it going?
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know if they'll go to zero, but they'll keep being worth less.
No, it always
has
value.
And there's a word for something that continues to be worth less, I think.
Don't say it. Yeah, it doesn't, because again, while it might not hold monetary value,
right?
When you come in and you're thinking about getting engaged, you're not thinking about that.
Of course
not. You're not thinking about having, and you and I have talked about the historical importance of diamonds was that as the GIs came back from the war, they always had something that was worth something.
Yeah.
So if they had to survive another depression or they had to survive another world war, they always had something that they could sell and buy bread. Mm-hmm. That really, people want to make it to be a conspiracy that it was just this one company and it became a worldwide monopoly. And sure, some of those things, I guess you could make arguments for, but it was that a diamond always had value. A diamond has always had historical value for thousands of years.
Right.
Even when just royalty could own them, it always had significant value because they're hard to get to, they're hard to cut, they're hard to style, they're hard to find new ones.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of reasons for that. Whereas now when you plug in something that can be made the same way millions of times, and there's thousands of companies doing it in every country around the world, there's no way to maintain a consistent value in that. So what's the value? It always has to be worth something because if you walk into anybody's store to buy a synthetic anything, ruby or emerald or sapphire, which have existed for over 100 years, some of those, then you're not getting it free.
Right.
It's always got to have some value because somebody had to grow it. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to facet it. Somebody had to cut it.
And, there's costs built in.
There's costs built in. But so... those things. So it always has value because it didn't just come out of the machine looking like you're buying it.
Right.
And it did cost somebody the engineering and the effort and the time to plan that. So I don't want to say nothing is worthless.
Yeah.
Anything that takes human ingenuity and hard work behind it has value and is beautiful.
But in a
these are diamonds.
We talked about that in the last episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of reaffirmed that reality of the chemical properties of it and all that. So we're not here to dispute that side of it. I think it was.
There will be people in the comments that will say that.
Well, and maybe
watch the episode. We don't say that.
Right. No, maybe there's some caution too between like what it's worth versus like what it costs you to buy. Those are probably two different things too. I mean, because like you said, people buy any kind of a piece of jewelry because it means something to them. They want to give it to somebody. In that sense, it's worth something. Like, you don't always buy a piece of jewelry because you're trying to flip it later and sell it. So that's not, I think, what I meant by worth. I think I meant like, what's the bottom as far as how much you should expect it to be to cost you when you go and buy it in a store. And when it's something like, that's really based in price, you can just kind of keep marking down until you reach those costs. There is probably a level where that will kind of even out. And you've reached that point where the jewelers who stock them will have kind of got their a reasonable markup built in. And that's kind of where it'll level out. And it hasn't been there, I guess, is the point in the past several years.
yeah, you know, what's my magic number just in the conversations that I had had over the last three, like, say 1 to 5 years,
yeah,
has been, to me, that magic number has always been around $800 to $1,000 for a 1 carat.
Yep.
I think $1,000 still feels a little high to me, just based on some of that. But I think if things bottomed out at $500 to $800 for a 1 carat, I think that's probably about, could it get to be $100? I don't know. That would have to be a mass produced process where they're just produced. They go straight from the machine into another machine that cuts them and they spit them out by
AI doing all the
AI, maybe,
all the work.
Who knows?
Well, one of the other clips I'm going to play for you of your younger, handsomer self might have you saying what you thought the bottom would be back then. We'll see if you're right.
Again, I don't watch these things. So.
Clip number two. Let's go on to that. This is what you said 2.5 years ago.
Yes, I certainly could have made the decision years ago to make money the whole way down as the price dropped. But I've never really felt right about that. I'm not judging. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, because I think everybody that I know that has sold them has been really upfront with the client. We cannot guarantee future value. Just like you really can't walk into a store and buy a natural 1 carat and say, I'm going to buy this for $5,000 and in a couple of years I'm going to sell it and make money. That's not really how this process works either.
Sure.
But it's always worth something. And those, so the tangible benefits of having a laboratory grown diamond, nobody knows what that is other than probably zero.
So it's that comment you made about you could have made money all the way down that I wanted to ask you about and focus on, because all the way down is happening. It has happened. Reactions to that 2.5 years later, any regrets about not doing that? What's your updated thoughts on that decision?
No, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that we didn't, because
years ago you seemed to know that when it was being sold for $4,000, it wasn't worth $4,000 at that point. So, I mean, that was something you didn't want to do. So you kind of had that decision, I guess, made at the time. So
look, I'm a business owner. I'm never against making money. Mm-hmm. But I am against making money when I don't believe in the story. We're in a romantic business. That, like it or not, you know, some people say we're in the diamond business. Some people will say that we're in the love business. I don't agree with any of that. We're not in the love business. People walked on the door, we're in love. I didn't make them fall in love, right? I'm not in the diamond business. I do buy diamonds. I love buying diamonds. I love diamonds. But we're in the symbolism business, right? We're there to help them commemorate, celebrate, extend relationships, sometimes through a symbol. And that's, to me, as long as I keep my eye on that, that I'm there to represent that for my clients, it has allowed me to use my conscience and still my business sense and to avoid things and say, look, I'm not interested in making this up here and watch it ride all the way down. I don't want to have to explain that 3 years from now, why that diamond. It could happen to natural. It has never had that sort of precipitous drop that you've seen in the synthetics. Sure, you've seen peaks and valleys, right, with the market over the years. And who knows? I am not a soothsayer as far as pricing goes for naturals either. But the lab grown market was easy to predict. The natural diamond, somewhat stable, at least over the last 130, 140 years. Yeah. So I don't see that changing. So no, that's a long answer to your question, but the short answer is no, I don't have any regrets. Matter of fact, I'm thankful every day that my team and I made that decision and that we stuck to it. And sure, we'll sell them now on occasion, but I feel like the price is about where it should be. And that's what I was waiting for the entire time.
Let's pivot to a slightly different angle on this. During this lab-grown craze of the last few years, some businesses have started running promotions where they're giving them away.
Yeah.
In February 2020, Pepsi launched a promo where they infused a lab-grown diamond with crystal Pepsi powder and gave it away. In January 2022, genius, Panera gave away 22 lab-grown diamond rings in conjunction with a coffee and baguette promotion. And then in the latter half of 2023, there was Steven Singer. Steven Singer Jewelers in Philly Longtime guy, has a store for 43 years, does a lot of advertising in Philly, known for kind of pushing the envelope. In 2023, he launched a campaign under his I Hate Steven Singer moniker, asking, why do other jewelers hate Steven Singer? And it's because he's giving away lab-grown diamonds for free just to show how, in his words, worthless they really are. The real question you should be asking is, why are other jewelers still charging so much for him? Now, that's certainly Steven Singer in his
That's market. One way.
Yeah. The trend is fascinating to me, though, from Pepsi to Panera to Philly. Not selling lab-growns, but giving them away simply to make a point. What do you think of that?
Well, the non-jewelry companies, yeah, that are Pepsi and Panera, not giving it away should indicate, for better question be, why wouldn't they give away natural? They're not making a point about, they're not making a stance on lab grown. They don't care. They've got no skin in that game.
It's a good thought, yeah.
Why are they choosing lab grown, do you think? What is, like, I'm reversing the questions on you. Why would they do that?
Because they know they're super duper cheap to get their hands on. It's not really going to cost them that much to do it.
That's the answer to the question. And so it's because a natural had value, mm-hmm, and they could give away 22 laboratory grown diamonds for really rather cheap, mm-hmm, and become such a news story that it made it to this very major podcast.
Yes.
That's how good that promotion was. Panera, you made it.
Pepsi, you did, made it.
You did done it. It.
Congratulations on
you
your success.
You made Carter Cast. Congratulations. And so that, I mean, I didn't know either of those stories about Pepsi or Panera. So, mm-hmm, that's one benefit to being your friend all these years. You're still teaching me about things I should know about already. And, you know, Steven's approach is a little heavy-handed, in my opinion, but
that's very subtly put. I appreciate that.
Well, look, I don't want to belittle anybody who's chosen a lab grown. I'm not in that business either. Yeah. You know me, man. I am everybody's buddy. And and I want to be your buddy. And I have definitive.
It's true, though. It really is.
I have opinions on things. And if you ask me, I'll tell you. And sometimes that makes you not want to be my buddy. And that's fine.
But most people don't ask you, and then you don't tell them. That's what you want. So,
which is, you know, I'm judicious with who I share that with.
For sure.
And I have some similar views on those, where I feel like a lab grown would not be the right choice for me to give my wife. But other people are free to make that decision when they walk through the front door as well. And I do agree with him on the pricing, though. I do feel like some people are still overcharging. And his point was, they shouldn't be. I can afford to give these away. Why are some people still using it as a profit center? Is what the point? I'm not saying he's right or wrong. That's just the point that he's making.
Right.
And backed up by non-industry related companies that are not giving away natural diamonds, though some have over the years. I've seen promotions of that. Mm. But they give away like one, not 22.
Or it's like really, really yellow, low color.
Correct. Yeah.
It's like the clarity of...
But at least it's natural.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It does kind of...
I think Pepsi can afford a natural diamond, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just curious what you think that type of treatment of the product does to the perceived value of the product.
It doesn't help the perceived value whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, if something can be given away in large numbers, it definitely should. Because these are other for-profit organizations. They are there to make money.
Right.
If they're giving away things that were worth $1,800 to $2,000, it would be, granted, could be in their promotional budget to do so, but chances are that's it's not helping the long-term pricing of natural diamonds.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, of laboratory-grown diamonds.
Yeah, sorry, lab-grown.
Yep.
All right, another side effect of the lab-grown diamond craze is the increase in fraud. We're unfortunately seeing people fraudulently selling lab-grown diamonds as natural. At the higher price of naturals because they think people can't tell the difference. January 2024 article from Rappaport told how there was a 6-carat pear-shaped natural diamond.
I saw that.
Had a GIA grading report and everything. Fast forward a few years, that same stone was sent away for grading again, but it wasn't the same stone. In between these two grading reports, somebody apparently created a similar-looking 6-carat pear-shaped synthetic stone in the lab and even put the original laser inscription from the natural diamond on it, then fraudulently swapped them out, thinking no one would notice. The second grading used photoluminescence spectroscopy to test the diamond, which revealed a doublet caused by silicone vacancy defects, indicating it was created using chemical vapor deposition, CVD. It was literally a case of identity theft, lab-grown posing as a natural, even trying to steal its grading report. That's, of course, not the only story. That's just the biggest, 6-carat pear-shaped. That's, you got to be pretty bold to try to pull something like that off.
It's a big deal.
How do you think the prevalence of lab-grown diamonds risks impacting customer confidence in certainty of natural diamonds?
It's a real concern. And it has been one of my main concerns since they hit the marketplace in a commercially viable size, colors, and clarities.
Yeah.
That 6-carat, I read that article. That was just a couple weeks ago that happened. Yep. That is very concerning. It is not at all surprising. Hmm. People have used false inscriptions on diamonds for years and submit them to GIA for grading. And GIA has the most sophisticated equipment in the world. And they generally, and they have those most sophisticated human eyeballs right. in the world looking yeah. at these things too. And so they'll always find, not always, but they've always, the things that they've found over the years, they've always found because it's been one of their graders looking at it and saying, this just doesn't look quite right. In this case, now you have something that, unless you have the proper equipment, which we do, we have a machine that does mm-hmm. something very similar to that photophosphorescence that you described, mm-hmm. Where we can test it, but people in the comments are going to say, but you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. True. I cannot with my jeweler's loop. Nobody can.
Right.
Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you. You're absolutely right, naysayers. But you can tell the difference with the proper equipment. Yeah. And if proper equipment can tell the difference, they are not exactly the same. And so anybody who says they're exactly the same is also not telling the complete story. Yeah. In this case, if that diamond was impossible to identify, nobody would have been able to identify mm-hmm. that it was not the same diamond.
Right.
And so you do get this weird phenomenon with laboratory grown diamonds where somebody can come in, and it's hard to do this with natural, but somebody can come in and say, they pick a number that's important to them. We were married on March 20th. Mm-hmm. We were married on May 5th. I want a 3.20-carat laboratory grown diamond. It's very hard to nail that in a natural because there's so much waste and each point that you shave off goes away and dramatically decreases the value. We've done that for people where they pick a number that's really important. And then we're like, no way, we can't find, oh, there's 4. This literally happened about a month ago. Yeah. And so we were able to find exactly a number that had power to mm-hmm. that. Couple,
sure.
and it, which was actually really cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't $9,000, you know, it was priced accordingly per carat. And so there is a use for laboratory grown that way where you can nail those numbers. It also is what made the fraud in this case a little more prevalent because they could grow a diamond, have it cut to meet the specifications of that grading report. So anybody who is measuring it or looking at the inscription mm-hmm. or doing the weight, if they weighed it, it would have probably checked right out, but it probably wouldn't have matched up with the internal plotting of the diamond that would have happened for the clarity characteristics.
Yeah. It's been a turbulent decade, though, for all that, I imagine, for people in your industry.
Like, it doesn't help confidence.
Right. Well, not that, but I'm sure that, I know this to be true with you and your friends around the industry, you don't want to intentionally sell someone a lab-grown thinking it's a natural. But I can imagine that they just accidentally might do that. So I'm just curious what you're aware of different steps that jewelers have tried to take over this past several years to prevent that from happening accidentally.
Yeah, I think the ones that hope that their vendors are doing it for them mm-hmm. are being a little too trusting. About, I don't know, what was it, Josh? Like 4 years ago, we invested in the technology for the machine that we just talked about, mm-hmm. where we literally test every diamond and every piece of diamond jewelry that comes into our store in this synth detecting machine.
Right.
And if there's any sort of, the machine never says laboratory grown, it just says refer, or there's something suspicious about that stone. It is possible in this device for a natural diamond to say refer. And that means it might be a certain type of diamond that needs to go in and have further testing, which are rare, but it does happen.
Yeah.
Or it could mean that it's a CVD, chemical vapor deposition grown, laboratory grown, that is pinging in the machine. And that, but so if there's, for us, if there's any sort of level of suspicion for that piece goes back to the manufacturer. We pop out the suspicious stone and put in something new. And I think that level of, even if it's a little teeny tiny 1-point diamond, you know, which the smaller they are, the harder they are to test. Mm-hmm. But it is important to know that your retailer is doing that, because you don't want to pay for laboratory grown diamonds as natural.
Right. One more clip. Clip number 3, 2.5 years ago, you said this.
I don't feel like this story has ever been true or complete to this point. And I also don't think that the price has been what it should be. I remember I read an article about 4 years ago that said, just in China, there were 10,000 machines growing diamonds at that point. Hmm. That was one country.
Wow.
And 5 years ago.
Hmm.
So you can imagine what it probably is today.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason why that price is doing that. And that's okay if somebody wants to get a 1-carat, because to me that should be probably where the magic number is, in that $500 to $800 price range for a 1-carat. Almost doesn't matter how big it is. Mm-hmm. It really isn't even done per carat like a natural diamond is.
Yeah.
And so until that story gets to be a little bit more accurate and the price is more representative of what the item actually should cost, we'll continue to stock great natural options that I think give people a pretty good reason not to buy a laboratory grown diamond. That's the best thing that I can do, in my opinion, at this stage.
So where does the story stand today? Has the price caught up to the product where you have a clear conscience yet?
I mean, I'd be a really good politician because I left myself some outs there. That's what I noticed by watching that.
You know what's funny is that I did
say 4 years and then I said 5 years, so right away out the window with credibility.
You read it 4 years ago, but it happened 5 years ago.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Okay. And right after that, I didn't put it in the clip. You said, "Now I'll never say never."
Yeah.
So you did. You politicized yourself very
well. I knew I couldn't resist it forever because too many people asked for it.
Yep.
And you know me. I'm a man of the people. I want to give the people the options that they desire. Yep. It's just my job and my team's job is to make a stand where we can make a stand, and we did. I also at that time, and I think we talked a little bit about the in that episode, that the story that I referenced there is that the manufacturers were telling at that time, and they've stopped doing it because the FTC told them to stop doing it, was they were saying, lab-grown diamonds are green. They're green. Mm. They're green.
Yep.
They're not green. You know, they're not good for the environment. You can say buy a laboratory-grown diamond because you're not punching a hole in the earth and getting... That's okay. I mean, I can get probably behind that truth. Mm-hmm. But to say that they're green is not true because it plugs into a wall which is powered most likely by coal. And it takes a massive amount. Remember, diamonds are formed in the mantle of the earth. Basically, they're in lava under high pressure and high temperature. In order to reproduce those conditions on earth, it takes a massive amount of energy. And the other thing is they have to fill that chamber with gas. Now, you and I have talked about this, so maybe you know. But do you know what?
I don't actually remember.
Do you know what gas they fill the chamber with? I believe in it. I think it's CVD in that growth process.
It's not helium?
It's methane.
Really? I didn't know that.
Where does methane come from?
Cows?
Fracking.
Ah.
Also cows, but it comes from fracking. Is fracking green? No. So the point is even if all those factoids are incorrect, which I'm pretty sure they're not.
Don't fact check.
Don't fact check.
There's no reason to, really.
Although, I mean,
you could.
It's pretty right. Pretty right from before.
That's true, yeah.
I even did that. Look, I even drew the chart with my finger.
You did.
In that clip. But the point is like that story that they were green was not true, right? And so, it didn't take somebody who was reading tea leaves or I'm not Nostradamus and predicted what it was just looking at what things were, knowing, talking. I was talking to growers. I was talking to people who were doing this. I knew what the costs were associated with it. And those really haven't dropped that much.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why prices have dropped is because so many people were just producing.
Right.
And there's stories of, I read a story a couple of months ago of somebody overseas, I believe it was in India, who was so frustrated with the value of his laboratory grown diamonds that he went out into the street and just threw thousands of them in the air, and they were just all over the ground and people picking them up. And
wow,
you know, he didn't do that with natural.
Wow, no, they wouldn't. All right, to wrap up, then I guess the one thing I wanted to maybe highlight more than we did. And this will be one of those things where I kind of have a thought, and I'm curious what you think, if you agree with it or have different thoughts on it. My kind of position on this, after talking with you about it for many years, is more on the side of like engagement ring, like usage in engagement rings. There are plenty of other reasons why people might want lab-grown diamonds for Absolutely. Other fashion pieces or earrings. And I think I have very mild thoughts on using it for things like that. But for me, again, given the brand that we've tried to build it at the store about, you know, it being about meaning and trying to find that symbolic connection to a really emotional moment that you're having there. Just that idea of a natural, flawed, like real earthborn diamond that can match your natural, flawed, like earthborn relationship. Like, to me, there's just a lot of beauty in that concept. And so when it comes to using a lab grown for an engagement ring, that's kind of where I would have my strong thoughts. But frankly, outside of that, I'm fairly indifferent to a lot of that. And so I think as we've talked over the years, like just it's been more about, again, that story you mentioned about the kind of the myths of whether it's green. And then also just the price, kind of knowing that that chart is going to continue to go down. You know, it's almost a little bit like I felt like we were kind of like that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where they're going the wrong direction on the interstate.
How do they know where we're going?
Right. And we're the ones shouting, like, you're going the wrong way. Yeah. And people are like, they're drunk. How would they know where we're going? You know, it's like, no, we're not drunk. Like we kind of knew that this would happen to this chart. And I think that's where the only place we were coming from. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that kind of take on it.
It did feel, and I think that for somebody who's not a diamond buyer or seller, yeah. you've been really staunch in your opinions on laboratory grown, which you and I've had some really good conversations over the last several years. And it has felt a lot like I'm the lone voice in the wilderness screaming into the wind sometimes into the trade.
Yeah.
Because I did resist it for so long. And my friends who watch this would probably agree. I was the most resistant in our industry to laboratory grown diamonds, at least in, you know, your top 10 friends that have been an advocate for natural for as long as we have. And that'll continue. To your question about is there a place for lab grown diamonds in other uses? For sure. And I am not naive enough to ever think that they're going away. Laboratory grown diamonds will always be here. There'll always be a use for it. First of all, they'll always have an industrial use because they're invaluable in terms of mining equipment and things like that. But from a jewelry perspective, laboratory grown diamonds make good studs? Sure they do.
Yeah.
They make good engagement rings, truthfully, if we're being truthful. Do they make good diamond pendants? Yeah, they make good anything that a natural diamond would make. That is the unbiased viewpoint of a lab grown. There, by the way, just like natural, there are good looking lab growns. There are bad looking lab growns. There are some processes in growing the diamonds that are better than other processes. There's a new emerging theory that a single growth process, which I think means that the diamond doesn't shift direction when it's growing. I don't totally know the definition of that, but I think that's what that means. And so that growth process makes for a better looking laboratory grown. If I was in the market and said, absolutely, you guys are idiots. I'm only gonna buy a lab grown because X, Y, and Z, and that's what we're getting. I would only accept the best quality lab grown. It needs to be completely colorless. It needs to be extremely high clarity, and it needs to be ideal cut, and I wouldn't accept anything less. And oh, by the way, throw in a specific weight on there because it's the date of your wedding or something like that.
Yeah.
Throw all those things in there because you'll find all those things. And you won't, at today's prices, probably won't overpay. You may overpay if you're being that specific, but maybe not. Yeah. But to your point, I will do a counterpoint where it's easy to say, well, in an engagement ring, I'm not for it, but in earrings and things like that, maybe that's okay. Well, regardless of why somebody's coming in to buy the diamond, they are coming in because they're in love, usually. Sometimes it's just, you know, an event that they're a woman or a man, or they're buying a diamond for themselves.
Right.
Sometimes it's love. Sometimes it's pride. But it's always a powerful moment because that's why you choose a diamond. Mm-hmm. It's to celebrate something powerful in your life. Might be a person, might be an event, might be a memory. And so do I would I personally choose a laboratory grown to celebrate that? Probably not. Yep. That's me.
Right.
Would I recommend my clients do that if they asked?
Sure.
I would say natural. And as you know, and if you play back clips there, mm-hmm. we have done our best to structure our inventory so that you don't have to choose a laboratory grown diamond. We tried to make those natural diamonds as because you need a lower quality stud diamond in your ear than you do on your ring because people don't see it as up close.
Right.
And so that's how we've stocked our diamond earring inventory. It's beautiful, big, bright goods. Might be a little lower clarity than we would have carried before,
yeah.
but it makes for a really reasonably priced pair of diamond studs versus something like super high color, super high clarity.
Yeah.
But no, I will always be an advocate for natural in just about every shape or form. I think someday you could see laboratory growns replace very small diamonds in what we call melee, in side yeah. stones and rings and things mm-hmm. like that, because it'll be a more cost effective way to make that piece of sure. jewelry, and there won't be a real visible difference between them.
I think the other thing too, that just kind of in closing as we wrap up here, that it seems like, so you actually gave some good examples of ways that people, whether they be shopping for fashion sort of diamonds or engagement ring diamonds, might choose a laboratory grown diamond and still have, it has meaning to them in some way. Again, you gave the example of the birth date or the wedding date or whatever that would be. That excites me. Like that would be a really cool thing to do. What I think has been the trend, though, is that usually when you're thinking about laboratory grown diamonds, it's almost always about price. Like it's almost always because you know that it's a diamond, it is a diamond, and no one's going to tell the difference.
And we have other things to do with the money.
That too, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I guess where I'm going is it takes a very emotional, meaningful, symbolic moment and really makes it all about price when you're considering the lab-grown option. Whereas certainly price is always a factor whenever someone comes to shop. But to me, it seems like that has added an extra dimension to the conversation where it just makes it even more about price than it used to be
yeah.
when it was just naturals. And I guess that's just, I don't know, sad might be the right word that I would use. At least that's kind of how I just feel about it, thinking about it. I'm just curious what you think about it as far as the overall emotional behind it.
No, I don't view it that way.
Okay.
It's, I think that when somebody comes in and they have a budget and they say, I have $2,000 to spend, our job is to say, for $2,000, you could get this beautiful natural diamond. Mm-hmm. But you can. $2,000 is a perfectly rational budget for a natural diamond. Might not be a 1 carat, mm-hmm. but conversely, here's a 2 carat, laboratory grown. It's about $2,000.
Yeah.
It's about somewhere in there, $1,500 to $2,000 probably.
Now.
So now, it wasn't.
Right.
A couple years ago, that diamond yeah. was just, and literally a couple years ago, that diamond was 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's sad, because I think at the end of the day, it's that person's right to choose.
For sure.
And they're choosing the symbol that's right for them.
Yep.
At that moment in time, mm-hmm. They're starting out, maybe it's a second go around, maybe mm-hmm. they're waiting for a certain promotion, and this is what we can do to begin our lives together. God yep. bless you.
For sure.
The love is what's important. The moment is what's important. The symbol definitely is important. You know I believe in that. You know that I believe in the emotion behind what we do. But there'll always be options. You don't have to choose a diamond at all. You could choose a watch. You could choose a gold mm-hmm. bracelet. You could choose all sorts of things that you can do. To me, a diamond is the most powerful symbol of love. And because of what it represents historically, what it represents currently, where it represents where the diamond itself came from. It's a, you know, I'm a romantic guy when it comes to those kinds of things. So those things I'll always lean towards natural. I don't care what happens with lab grown. That's not the story that I'm telling. I can tell that story. But for me, the power and the emotion and the beauty and the symbolism behind natural is really what means the world to me, and to be the purveyor of that is an honor, and I'll always be a defender of it.
Sounds like a good place to stop.
Wow.
Nice job. We'll be right back with the final facet.
Jack Lewis Jewelers engagement rings start at just $499, with dozens of choices under $2,000. We're not secretly eager to steer you towards something bigger and more expensive. So whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, come have an engagement experience at Jack Lewis Jewelers.
Thanks for watching, everybody. If you made it this far, we really appreciate it. We appreciate all your support. The comments, like, please leave them, whether it's contrary or positive or negative. We love the conversation. We do our best to reply. Be willing to have a conversation about it. We have definitive opinions on laboratory grown versus natural. And as I said, I will always be a defender of natural diamonds, but I can recognize the logic of both. If you're in love and you're looking for a way to commemorate that, if you're looking for a way to celebrate anything, a diamond is a tremendous way to do that. So know that when you make that purchase, that you need or should seek the advice of a professional who's done it for a long time, who will be honest and direct and help you make a right decision. So whether you choose laboratory grown or natural, this show is just about presenting the facts, looking historically on where we were a couple of years ago and how we saw things. And I think how a lot of those things held up and are true. Always room to grow, always room to learn, and we'll revisit this again in the future. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to us say even more about lab-grown diamonds. If this episode generated any thoughts or questions, reach out. Search for Jack Lewis Jewelers on your favorite social media platform and message us there. On the next episode of the CarterCast, have you ever wondered how jewelry stores get their diamonds? Like, how do they find, acquire, buy, and stock diamonds? Is it magic? Or is it work? If you're shopping and you want to know why the diamond you see in the case is the diamond you see in the case, from its four C's to its price to its brand name, this is the show for you. We're pulling back the curtain and showing you how a jewelry store gets its diamonds. Don't miss it. For John Carter, I'm Josh, and this is the CarterCast, a production of Joshua 19 on behalf of Jack Lewis Jewelers in Bloomington, Illinois, and online at jacklewisjewelers.com.